Two extra measures will appear on Monroe County voters' ballots in November. One, permanently capping property taxes at a fixed rate by adding the requirement to the state constitution, and the other, giving citizens the ability to voluntarily bump their taxes up beyond the constitutionally set ceiling. WFIU's Regan McCarthy explains.
It's a sticky subject. State House legislators have made a play to add the 1-2-3% property tax caps, which are already part of the state legislation, to the state's constitution, making them, for all intents and purposes, a permanent measure. Voters will need to pass a referendum to make it happen. Meanwhile, Hoosier schools' budgets are hurting, in part because of the decreased funding they've received since the caps were instituted and schools were shifted to a sales tax funding model. All this means there's less money to go around. Monroe County's school district is one of several trying to solve the problem by asking for more money stemming from higher property taxes, but they'll only get that money if residents vote to increase their own taxes through a referendum. And this November, both issues will be on the ballot. But what Department of Local Government Finance spokeswoman Amanda Stanley says a lot of residents don't understand is there's no reason a citizen can't vote for both.
For example, you have a $100,000 homestead property. So it's capped at 1%. So the maximum that that taxpayer can expect to pay is $1,000. However, if within their taxing district a unit has proposed a referendum project, or if it's a school, a referendum tax levy, and the majority of the voters have passed that project or tax levy, then their cap amount will be adjusted based on the rate that is passed.
So if a referendum from a local agency, like the schools, for example, passes, property taxes can then be bumped up above the capped levels, essentially giving those local entities a method for routing around what could soon become a constitutional rule, a practice Monroe County Community School Corporation Superintendent J.T. Koopman predicts will be the norm.
That's pretty much the way they do business in Ohio and Michigan, and so that's almost an annual case that they put a ballot question up for the public.
And Koopman's not alone in his assumption. Terry Spradlin, who co-authored a Center for Evaluation and Education policy study of recent school referenda in the Hoosier State, says referenda are more frequent, and he doesn't think their growing numbers will slow anytime soon.
It's really going to be four fiscal years from now before there's even the possibility that the state will increase funding for them. So the only new way of generating revenue are referenda. So the answer is, seems all evidence suggests that, yes, this is going to be a regular process for communities and school districts to pursue.
And if that's true, it could mean more communities will be using the referendum workaround to increase taxes despite the law, which begs the question, wouldn't cementing the tax caps permanently into the state's constitution in some way make the caps less valid? Spradlin says it's possible.
What is the purpose of the caps? Why did we make this change and then pass the burden of doing this extra procedure, place that upon school districts' shoulders? So something we definitely need to keep an eye on, and so yes, it is a concern.
Once the caps are included as part of the state constitution, they'll require a multi-year process ending with a new constitutional amendment to ever be reversed. That means a repeal is significantly less likely and the probability that more schools will seek referendums increases. Bedford State Representative Eric Cook says that's okay with him. He says school funding referendums don't take support away from the property tax caps, but instead give the public more control. Cook says he thinks voters will only pass referenda in the communities where they're really needed. That's the opposite of what Spradlin and Koopman think. Spradlin says he worries turning Indiana into a referendum state will result in a funding inequality among counties, separating school districts by the haves and have-nots.
Should some communities struggle to pass a referendum and others easily pass them, we will have widening disparities in school funding, where districts have the ability to pass them because they have staff that can help wage the campaign successfully.
Spradlin cites his study on recent referenda in the state as proof that's already happening. For WFIU News, I'm Regan McCarthy.